On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Pounding the world like a battering ram.
All right, everybody, we're going to do some rapid fire where we list off some trivia trivia questions to each other, try to stump each other, and I think mine are pretty tough this time.
Yeah, we'll see, I think you're going to get one out of three.
Mine. All right.
But you'll know, the one I know you're going to get, I think. Okay. Question number two you're going to get for sure. I believe.
All right, well, let's start with question number one for you. What college band did Chevy Chase drum for before leaving to pursue acting and comedy?
College? Is it a band I've heard of?
Yep. And it was at Bard College,
Where the hell?
It's like a lot of artists and actors and people went there. My sister-in-law went there, Tony's wife.
Bard College?
Bard.
Are they nicknamed the Barbarians, the Bard Barbarians?
No, they're the Bard Tree Huggers.
No, wait, really?
No.
Okay. But there are some weird ones out there. You know, UC Santa Cruz, you know what they're called?
The Cruisers?
The Banana Slugs.
Oh, jeez.
And there was a high school game I watched the other day. The name of the team was the Earwigs. The Dunn Earwigs. I couldn't believe it.
Ugh.
Oh, here's a weird one. In L.A., there's Jefferson High School. You know what their nickname is?
No.
The Democrats.
Well, okay, I get it.
All right, I mean, but your team is called the Democrats, and that's as bad as the Earwigs, I think.
The Jefferson Democrats?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't even a Democrat. What the heck?
I don't know. They are. It's
whatever.
Okay, whatever. Anyway.
All right. So anyway, who did Chevy Chase play drums for?
Bard College, and it's a band that made it.
Yeah. They beat it. Big time.
Buffalo Springfield.
Way, way bigger.
Iron Maiden.
No, that would be incorrect. Oh. I don't think Iron Maiden went to college.
So it's a big band in the 60s or 70s?
70s, 80s.
And he was a drummer? Was he a drummer?
You said? Yeah. He left, and then the other two guys that were in the band went on and made the band what it is.
America. I don't know.
Nope. It was Donald Fagen.
Steely Dan?
Yep.
No way. Really?
Way.
Wow. Way. I don't see that.
Well, they weren't Steely Dan at the time, like Steely Dan that we think of.
Yeah. So they were just two buddies, but okay. They, wow.
Yeah. He played with.
And those guys are like top notch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on I've been watching Steve Lukather interviews. There's this guitar guide on YouTube and interviews guitarists. And I don't even know the guy's name. You've probably seen him. You probably know who I'm talking about. But Steve Lukather does an hour and a half.
Rick Beato?
Yep, that's the guy. You see the Steve Lukather interview with him?
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
A few times.
Yeah, so him just talking about all those guys. And he always talks about Steely Dan and how he reveres all those guys.
Yeah, how he wished he could have played with them, but he never was asked.
Yeah, or he talks about playing with Lee Ritenour and guys like that. Yeah, and Steve Lukather is just a talkative guy. He's got great stories. I could listen to that guy for hours. So.
Absolutely.
So, okay. All right, question one for you.
All right.
In 1981, Steve Walsh left Kansas. You know who Steve Walsh is, right?
Yeah.
Keyboard player and primary singer. He recorded a solo album, and then he did two albums with his band, Streets. Then Streets broke up. What would Steve do? He became the touring keyboard player for a popular American band in 1984-85. Name the band. He was just a backup keyboardist.
Steve Walsh.
Great singer, great keyboard player.
And
he played with a four-piece band, American band, before he joined Kansas again.
Cinderella.
Incorrect. Answer? Cheap Trick.
Really?
Yeah. Can you imagine going to see Cheap Trick and Steve Walsh is your...
I knew that because I was looking up Cheap Trick.
And you saw it, huh?
I saw Steve... Damn it.
I never knew that. And after that, it was Todd Hallsworth, who was in Fraley's band. He did that a couple times. So they had some talented guys on stage with him playing keyboard.
Todd Hallsworth,
yeah.
Yeah.
But Steve Walsh was like, oh, my God, really? That guy was part of Cheap Trick? Well, he wasn't part, but he played with him on stage. Like,
yeah.
Pretty damn impressive.
I saw Cheap Trick in a little tiny club in Newark.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't in the '80s. It had to have been in the '90s. So I was thinking maybe I saw Steve Walsh because they had a keyboard player with him. But it wouldn't have been Steve Walsh because that was definitely in the '90s.
Could have been Todd.
Yep. Yeah. Totally. He toured with him a long time.
If he had long blonde hair, it was him.
Yeah. I remember the hair.
Then it was definitely Todd.
All right. Well,
because he did it numerous times and for years and years and years. So. But, man, Steve Walsh, man, the background vocals, like, holy crap.
I bet they sounded great.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't do it for long because Kansas asked him back. So, the guy was down his dumps just trying to make a living. Ooh, shouldn't have left Kansas. Wow. Ooh, okay.
All right, question number two for you. Jeez.
Okay.
In the song, Nirvana song, Smells Like Teen Spirit, what is Teen Spirit?
It's a deodorant, isn't it?
Dang, yes. Yeah, apparently he, the main dude, Nirvana,
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, he saw Smells Like Teen Spirit written on a wall somewhere.
Yeah.
And thought that was all angsty and teen angst and whatever.
Yeah.
Thought it was a good name for a song. Turns out the graffiti that he saw was talking about girls' deodorant.
Hold on, my dog is barking. Casey, shut up. Somebody's home. But yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it. And, okay, I lost my train of thought. Okay, I'm back.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Teen Spirit, okay. Question two for you. And this is the one I think you're going to get.
Oh, no pressure.
What famous bass player sang backing vocals on the Toto 1983 hit singles, I won't hold you back in Africa.
Oh shoot. Timothy B. Schmidt.
Correct.
Yes.
And he was on the tour after that because I saw him singing.
He played for Toto?
Yeah, he was a background singer for Toto on that tour, the Four tour. I saw it at the Merriweather Post. I was third row for that. I don't think you were there.
No, I wasn't there because I remember you talking about it, that it was way harder than you would think of Toto.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, Toto was being poppy, but yeah, Steve Lukather was ripping.
Oh,
it was Frankie the Knockouts and Steve and Toto, and they were great.
No, Frankie and the Knockouts opened for April Wine. I saw them.
Yes, you saw them. Frankie and the Knockouts also opened because I saw them twice.
Really?
Okay. Yep. It was fantastic. Both bands were great. And it's funny because I went for Frankie and the Knockouts, not for Toto. And I left a Toto fan after that. Like, oh, my God, these guys are great. Because I only knew, like, Hold the Line and the songs from Four. I didn't know anything else.
Africa.
But they were playing deep, heavy cuts. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they played White Sister.
Oh, yeah. They were ripping. And some guy was yelling, Steve, after every song, Steve. And Steve got sick after it. After a while, like, what? What do you want? I love you, Steve. Thanks. And then he just kept continuing. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
So that's the one I knew you'd get. So you're now one for two.
Right. And well, so are you.
Okay. I'm one for two. Here we go.
Okay, so question three for you is the name game.
The one I always lose.
All right, who is Gershon Eliezer Weinrib?
Gershon Eliezer Weinrib.
Yep. You can see why he changed his name.
Oh, do I have any kind of hints? It's a dude, obviously.
It's a dude.
is this somebody I've heard of?
Yeah. You've totally heard of him. He's a bass player.
Pete Way.
No, not Pete Way.
Oh, I don't know.
He's from Canada.
Oh, a Canadian question. Okay.
Yeah, well, you Mr. Canada.
Or it's not Getty. It's not Gary Lee. Getty. His really name is Gary. But, yeah, they couldn't say his grandmother said Gary. Getty. It's a Canadian bass player.
It is Getty Lee.
Getty Lee, that's his real name?
His real name is Gershon. I have his autobiography.
Oh, okay.
And the first sentence, I was born Gershon Eliezer Weinrib.
Had no idea. Okay, well.
Yep. Now, Wikipedia has it as Gary, but.
Yeah, okay.
That's his actual given name.
Yeah, because she pronounced Gary Getty, so that's what you said. Okay.
I'll just go with Getty.
So I got that wrong, so I'm 1-for-3.
1-for-3, so.
Here's your chance.
I can win all the money.
Yes, this is a question about a band you know and love, but how much do you know about them and how much do you love them? Here we go. How many top 40 U.S. singles did Journey have in their career? Top 40 in the United States singles.
Lord.
It's a big number, but I don't know if it's as big as you think or as small as you think. Top 40. And after that, I'll tell you the songs. And that's funny because they almost had two more, but two of them hit 41, so they didn't make the list. But there's quite a bit of songs that did. All right. So
I'm going to say 21.
21. Oh, you're just a bit high. Correct answer, 16 top 40 hits. And they could have 8. They could have added 18 because Walks Like a Lady hit 41 and The Party's Over hit 41. So I'm going to name these songs, and I bet you there's a song on here you don't know. You ready?
Okay.
Loving, Touching, Squeezing. Any Way You Want It. Who's Crying Now? Don't Stop Believing. Open Arms. Still They Ride. Separate Ways. Faithfully. After the Fall. Send Her My Love. Only the Young. Be Good to Yourself. Suzanne. Girl Can't Help It. I'll Be All Right Without You. And When You Love a Woman. You know them all? I did.
I don't know if I know Suzanne.
See, that's the one I don't know. And it's on Raised on Radio, and I don't even remember that song. But, yeah, that hit number 20.
Wow.
Weird, huh?
I think maybe after this you should play a clip of it.
Oh, play it? Yeah, I don't even know if I have. I probably have it. So, yeah, I will do that. So, yeah, Suzanne, I don't remember
Suzanne.
That.
Suzanne. I know if I hear it, I'll be, oh, yeah, I know that.
But it's one they don't play anymore, and it's one we don't think of because all the songs from that album that were hits is Be Good to Yourself, Girl Can't Help It, and I'll Be All Right Without You. We know those.
Yeah.
And they still play them occasionally, but Suzanne, they don't play.
I love the song Raised on Radio. That's a great song, too.
Yeah. And all that was all between 79 and 94. Yeah, When You Love a Woman was later, but most of them were in that short time period of like 6 years.
Yeah, when they were super massive.
Yeah. Steve.
Of course, they're still playing stadiums now, so.
Yeah, them and Toto, right?
Yep.
They're touring again.
They played Baltimore this past weekend, last Sunday night.
Okay, and you didn't go.
Well, I saw that exact lineup back in the fall.
And are they playing the same songs? I know they're, and you can go on YouTube because I watched the Toto set and there was a song I didn't even know.
Yeah, it's basically the same because they're doing headline shows in between the Journey shows.
Uh-huh.
But the Journey set, the set that they play with Journey is about the same every night. And it's pretty close to what I saw. I saw them start with,
listen to Danny Hum. Go.
Afraid of Love.
Okay.
They started with that song and they haven't, I think that was one of the few times, because that was the first show of the tour.
Okay. So, I don't even know that song. So.
Afraid of Love. It's all four. Great song.
Don't even know it. See, I'm not a super fan like you are. So I like them. But I want to hear the Isolation album in its entirety. That's what I want to hear. That'll never happen.
Oh, man. That would be so good.
Yeah, it's so weird.
That won't happen because Fergie is dead.
Yeah.
But I think Joe's could sing that.
I mean, Joe sings most of the songs he sings live aren't songs he didn't sing originally, so.
Right. But I doubt they do a whole album that he wasn't on.
Yeah.
You know. It would be cool if they did an anniversary of four.
You could see that happen. When they came out in 82, well, we have to wait till 2032, so. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we're going to take a quick break and we're going to give you. Oh, I got some breaking news. Guess who's got a new lead singer?
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
We've talked about this Swedish band. Remember we always talk about Crash Diet? It's like four vocalists. Well, they got a new one again. I just saw. I go, oh, this guy left. Their new lead singer left. So now they have a new lead singer. So.
Jeez.
Come on, five lead singers now? Five or six now? I can't even lose track.
These guys, that was the band that there was a question last week or the week before.
Yeah, were there any original members left?
Yeah.
I mean, they were at least some good music, but they can't catch it. They can't keep a guy long enough. They're like, okay, whatever.
Whatever.
They're on the Monsters of Rock cruise, I think, this year.
Yeah, but are they going to get a new singer while they're on that cruise?
It's the news. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We're going to do one of those one of these days. We got to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your daughter's graduating from college, so maybe next year we can do it or something like that.
Yeah, maybe so.
Or maybe when I retire we can do it. I don't know. I'm retiring before Danny is. But
well, Danny, we got to do it before all these bands die.
True. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to commercial break, and we'll be back with 6 and 3.
For it is a human number. Its number is 6.
All right, boys and girls, time for 6 and 30. Play 6 clips of 5 seconds that add up to 30 seconds. So you got to guess 6 songs. Just give us the artist. And this group of 6 songs has a theme to it. Danny comes up with something. I come up with something. And we, what do? We surprise each other.
I'm proud that I came up with this bit. I like this one.
Yeah, this is Danny's bit. Nobody's copied it or cheated off us yet.
Yeah, nobody's stolen it quite yet.
Yeah, I noticed a show that I actually listened to came up. You know how we do top three, bottom three? Well, they came up with best and worst of. Best and worst of Warrant, I think. They do it kind of different, but you can see where they kind of got it from. I don't want to say. But the Decibel Geek Show, we love you guys, but we know where you got the idea from. Anyway, I listened to that show. Yeah, they picked the Janie Lee Warrant albums, and they picked their favorite song and the least favorite song off of each one of them. So it was interesting. Okay. Similar to ours, but not the same. You know, okay.
Whatever. They can have it. Whatever.
You got it. You guys got a billion people listening to you. We got 200. Okay. We're okay with that. Anyway, 6 and 30. You want to go first or shall I go first?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and play yours. So what's the theme?
Okay, my theme I came up with is bands produced by Roy Thomas Baker.
Oh, geez.
And this guy, after we do this bit, I'll give you some of the albums. And they're all great sounding albums by big bands. And okay. You're going to know every one of these artists. But I didn't pick the super big ones. I pick ones you've heard of, and you'll know, but it's not the obvious ones. So
okay,
go all ahead right, well, and play this.
Here we go. So Mr. Bigger, you better watch out. Can't you see? Oh, love is like a rock. My skin sounds dumb, break my bones. We'll rock and roll, we'll never hurt me. I wanna be in the headlines. I'm on the inside, taking a fast ride.
Yeah, I figured you'd get that last one.
Yeah, okay, I think I got at least four.
I'm not surprised.
Let me hear it one more time. That second one I'm not too sure about.
Okay.
And I think I remember the name of the third one, but let's see.
Okay. So Mr. Bigger, you better watch out. Can't you see?
Wow, those are all the same producer, huh?
Same producer. Wow. All right, what is number one?
All right, number one's definitely Free.
Correct.
Number two, I'm only going by the keyboards. I'm going to say it's Europe.
Incorrect. This guy was his first solo album, and he was in a pretty big band in the early 80s.
So it's a single guy?
And he wears a wig. And recently came out as bald.
Is Jolynn Turner?
Correct.
Oh, geez.
It's Jolynn right. Turner. Rest Endlessly. It was his first single off his first solo album.
Okay.
Produced by Roy Thomas Baker. Okay. What's number three?
Number three, I think, is it Donnie Iris?
You'd be very close. Donnie Iris wrote that song and recorded it. This is a cover of that song. This is Slade.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Love Is Like a Rock is a Donna Iris song, but Slade did it too.
Oh, shit. All
right. But good. Suck. Hey, good for pulling out Donnie Iris. You'd be right.
Yeah.
So you got one out of three. Okay. So you're going to nail the last three, aren't
you? Okay. Number four is definitely Dangerous Toys.
You're definitely correct.
That guy's voice is he's the only one that sounds like that.
Yeah. Killer band live, too.
Yeah. I'd like to see them. That's one band I would like to see.
Yeah, I think they got most of these guys still around. They play from time to time. So
yeah.
They're a lot older now, though. They don't look the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the singer used to be like rail thin, right?
I think he still is.
Is he?
Yeah,
he looks like doesn't have a dad bod yet?
He looks like a skeleton.
Yeah.
All right, number five.
Number five, that's Alice Cooper.
Ooh, I didn't think you were going to get that one because it's the last song on that album, too.
Yep. And the last one is The Cars.
Correct. Misfit Kid. Love that song. So you got three or four out of
four.
Six? Four out of six, like you said you would. All right, going back to Roy Thomas Baker. The first album he produced was Freeze, Fire, and Water. Also contains All Right Now. I mean, listen to that song. If you listen to it today, it still sounds fresh and it's clear.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff he produced the first four Queen albums and the album Jazz. He produced the first four Cars albums, Foreigner's Head Games, Journey Infinity, and Evolution, the heavy metal soundtrack, Cheap Trick One-on-One, the Fast Times at Ridgemont High soundtrack. He took Motley Crue's Too Fast for Love. He took the original and re-recorded it for commercial use. He did Ozzy Osbourne's No Rest for the Wicked. Here's a weird one. I didn't have this album, though. Shy, Misspent Youth. Dangerous Toys, Wayne's World soundtrack. And The Darkness, One Way Ticket to Hell and Back.
Wow.
So pretty diverse, but if you think about the Cars albums and Journey and Queen, how great those albums sound.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot of work, man. Especially Queen and the Cars.
Yeah.
And Journey, geez.
Yeah, and I was looking at the Queen. The best Cars albums are those first four.
And totally.
And after that, they used somebody else. Oh, you know, the next one was like Mutt Lang, and then they Rick Ocasek did it after that, and they just went downhill after that. If they would have stuck with Roy Thomas Baker, they would have been bigger than they ever were.
Yeah. And Mutt Lang's no slouch either.
No, he's not, but they had something going. Well, wow. And Head Games is a great album.
Wow.
And my favorite Alice Cooper album is Flush the Fashion. It was Roy Thomas Baker. It sounds fantastic. But Alice was wasted during the whole thing, so it was probably all him. So I just thought that was interesting, the diverse artists the guy does.
Yeah.
And the best sounding Darkness album is One Way Ticket to Hell and Back. I mean, a lot of people don't like the Darkness, but some of their stuff is great. Some of it's just weird. But
well, the singer is very polarizing. If you like that kind of stuff, you know, the Taylor Hawkins tribute when he sang with Wolfie?
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, he's a great singer. He's just...
Yeah, he really is.
But he's got that operatic wide
range. He does that falsetto thing sometimes. It just turns people off, but I don't mind it.
Yeah, I'd love to see that band live.
Yeah.
It's one of those bands that's probably way heavier than they are on the album. So.
Oh, I bet. I mean, the guitar player, I've only seen him in a Thin Lizzy t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Just based on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Now it's your turn. See if you can get four, which I don't think you will.
Okay. So what is the theme to yours?
My theme is the word nasty is in all the titles.
Nasty. So you went deep for this one. Okay.
Nasty. I wanted to do naughty because I was listening to Naughty Naughty by Danger Danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's Naughty Naughty by John Parr, isn't there?
Yep.
That's the only
I heard that. I went to Donate Blood the other day and I heard it on the way home.
Okay. That's
I saw him open for Toto in 86 when Fergie was singing with him.
Uh-huh.
Front row seats right in Roanoke, Virginia.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But that was, of course, his last song he did. But
yeah, he only had like two hits, I think, and he was pretty much gone after that. He was, it seemed like he was pretty old when he hit.
Yeah. Yeah. He had the Naughty Naughty and the St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah, and that was it. Okay.
It was pretty much it. But yeah, he opened for Toto when I saw them.
Okay. All right. So you couldn't find six Naughty songs, huh?
No, I couldn't. I had like four.
I mean, I think it's going to be pretty hard to find six nasty songs. I can think of one right now.
So, you'll think of more in just a minute.
Okay. So I think I might get, I'm thinking I'm only going to get two of these, maybe three, maybe.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see if I use nasty, the ones you're thinking of.
All right. So I got my pen. I got my paper. I'm going to write one through six.
And you need your mouse clicker finger.
I'm going to do that, and we'll see together. Let's see if we can get six. I don't think we are. I think Danny's going to beat the crap out of us, and he's going to win this week. I'm already calling it right now. It's like in chess. I knocked over my king, right? Is that how you do? You give up. I've already given up.
I'm done. Good luck with this.
All right, here we go. Okay, I know I have two for sure. Two. Two I know I have. One is a guess, and the other three I don't have a freaking clue on.
All right.
I think you went really deep on this, didn't you?
A couple of them I did, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell. So I'm like, wow, that sounds kind of familiar, but I don't know.
I think one of them you're going to be pissed.
Am I? All right, here we go. I'm not going to be that pissed.
One more time.
This is still fun. All right.
Nasty, nasty.
Wow. I'm going to lose. All right. Number one, I don't have a freaking clue at all.
European band.
Okay.
I think they're still around. Well, I know they are. They're from the 70s, though.
I'm going to say Nazareth.
No.
Okay.
No, that was Deep Purple.
Okay. What's the name of the song?
Oh, crap.
Nasty Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't sound familiar at all.
Yeah, it's from an album of 93, the one with the dragon on the front.
Is that the one with either Joe Linton or Doogie White singing?
No. Ian Gillan.
That was Ian Gillan? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because I know there's a couple ones he didn't. All right, number two, I know. It's Wasp.
That is correct. I threw a softball at you.
Thank you. All right, number three, I'm going to say Bruce Dickinson solo.
No.
Is it Iron Maiden?
No.
No, damn it.
I thought you might get it by the voice, but it's not Bruce.
Oh, who is it?
That's Jackal.
Shoot, it didn't even sound like Jackal. Damn it. Okay. What's the name of that song?
I think it was Hot and Nasty.
Hot and Nasty. Yeah, that's right. I wrote it down. All right. The fourth song, I think, is called Nasty Boys. I don't know who sings it. Oh.
Well, it's by a drummer of a band that you love.
It's by a drummer.
But he's dead now.
Is it Cozy Powell?
No.
Is it Hanoi Rocks?
Nope. Nope, that was Eric Carr solo album.
Jesus.
And you were right, though. It was Nasty Boys.
Shoot. Yeah, I would never got that in a million years. Uh-huh. Number five, I think, is Slade.
That's right. Ooh, damn it.
The voice.
I didn't think you'd get that. I thought I was going to...
I didn't know the song at all.
Get you back for that.
Yeah. That's funny we both did Slade.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the song that I picked. I usually write them down.
Yeah. Number six is the only Nasty song I could think of, Nasty Nasty by Black and Blue.
That is correct.
So I only got three.
You did. You got Slade.
And you got four. So this week, you are the big winner, and you win a round trip to White Plains, New York. Round trip to White Plains, New York. So, but you have to book the flight, and you have to book the car.
Oh, it's a two-hour drive.
Two-hour drive to White Plains, New York. Okay.
So yep.
There's your trip. You know what? I'll buy the boba.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that was fun. 6 and 30. Right. Danny's signature bit. Not to be stolen yet, but it will be for sure.
I'm sure it will in some form or another.
Yeah, it's okay. We don't mind helping other podcasters out there. They can get rich and famous, and we're okay with what we do.
Yeah, we'll provide the content.
That's right.
The ideas.
Just give us a shout-out every once in a while. That's all we need. We don't need your money.
Hey, check out the Hard Rock and Trivia Show.
Yeah, give us a few clicks. That's all we need. And then millions will be rolling in. Yeah. All right, sir. I think when we come back from this next commercial break, we're going to do another top three, bottom three, so be ready for it. All right, boys and girls, we are back with our final bit of the show. This is top three, bottom three. This time we're featuring the late 80s Cheap Trick albums. That would be Standing on the Edge, The Doctor, and Lap of Luxury. And we'll go into a little detail about each one of them. We'll pick our top three songs from these three albums and our bottom three. What'd you think listening back to these albums there, Danny?
I'd forgotten most of... I mean, there's of course, The Flame is on... in there, so that was probably one of their biggest hits, I guess, certainly from this era. I actually had a hard time coming up with the bottom three just because I really like these albums.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go back into a little bit of history on these albums and go through what we found, and we're going to see if we agree on the top three and the bottom three. First one, Standing on the Edge, came out in 1985. It hit number 35 on the album charts. It was produced by Jack Douglas. And Jack Douglas is the producer who did their very first album, so they kind of wanted to go back to that first album, raw sound. But something happened when making the album. Jack Douglas produced it, but when they mixed it, I guess Jack Douglas was in a legal dispute with Yoko Ono.
Oh, geez.
So he had to leave, so they had brought in this guy named Tony Platt, and he mixed the album. But when he mixed it, he's the guy responsible for bringing all those keyboards and electronic drums into the mix. So it kind of changed the album. So some of the songs are kind of raw, but the ones that are heavy on the keyboards, blame Tony Platt for that one.
All right.
So
that was going to be my one negative of this era.
Yeah. But, and
yeah, go ahead.
It'll pop up again, because in the next album, I guess the record company Epic wanted more singles because it'd been a while since they hit the singles charts. And in fact, on Standing on the Edge, one song did almost make the top 40. We'll get into that because I'm sure it's going to pop up on our list. But nothing else really did. So the next year, the record company was happy with the mix, so they brought in Tony Platt to produce the album. What did this do for The Doctor? Well, it went to 115, sold like 88,000 copies initially, and was a total bomb. In fact, AllMusic gave it a 1-star. Standing on the Edge got 2 stars, so they hated The Doctor a lot more. None of the singles on The Doctor even charted. And that was It's Only Love, which has a video. It's a horrible video. It's kind of like that Wang Chung song. You know the video where the faces go back and forth?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Cheap Trick It's Only Love video does the same thing. It's really annoying. I mean, I like the song, but the video is terrible. And Kiss Me Red was a Europe-only single. Rick Nielsen is one of those songs that was from an outside writer, and Rick Nielsen says he hates that song. Which I actually don't. It's funny because that song was also recorded for some kind of movie featuring John Stamos. And there's a video of a female singer, John Stamos, doing Kiss Me Red around the same time.
Jeez.
I don't mind that song that much, but yeah, Cheap Trick hates that one. I think Cheap Trick has a history of not liking songs by outside writers because their biggest single of their career is The Flame, written by somebody else, and the band seems to kind of hate that song. Weird, huh?
Yeah. We'll get into it.
Yeah, Lap of Luxury came out in 88, which was produced by a guy named Richie Zito, and that got 3 stars from AllMusic, and that one went to 16. That was their huge comeback album, and the album featured like 5 singles. 3 of them charted. The Flame went to 1, Don't Be Cruel went to 4, and Ghost Town was 33, and the other 2 didn't get very high. But
all right.
That was their, all of a sudden Cheap Trick was a thing again. But does the album hold up? I don't know. We're going to find out. Does the songs hold up? I don't know. We're going to find out.
All right.
So yeah, so generally we like to do the top 3 first, you know, get the positive energy out there.
Yeah.
And then we go into when the fun starts when we get to the bottom 3.
Yeah.
So Danny, right. I guess you can start this off with your number 3 song in the top.
Okay. My top 3, the number 3 is The Flame. Which I know you just talked about that they don't really like that song, but it's a huge hit, and I actually like the song. I mean, it's kind of mellow for me. I'm not really big into the mellow, melodic kind of songs, but that's my number 3.
I love The Flame. I think it's a great song.
It is a great song, whether they wrote it or not.
Yeah, I think they get an issue with them when they don't write the song and the record company kind of forces them to record it. They get all bent out of shape, but it worked and it basically revived their career. I like it quite a bit. My wife even likes it, so a lot. I'm sure your wife probably likes it.
She probably does. I haven't asked her about it, but I'm sure.
She probably could sing it for us if she was sitting next to you, so. But she's not, so we're not going to hear a version. But
no, she's not.
But we'll play a version of it, so then you guys will hear a snippet of it. So I can't disagree with that. The Flame's a good song, so.
Yeah. So what's your number three?
My number three comes off of, and it's a song I forgot about, comes off of Standing on the Edge. It's called Cover Girl.
Okay.
It's kind of a rocker. It's got a nice chorus. And I forgot I liked the song. I listened to a couple of, wow, this is a pretty good song. I don't know if I ever saw them play it live. I don't even know if the band ever played it live. But I could see that song going over pretty well live.
I've seen Cheap Trick a bunch of times, and I can't remember them ever playing that song.
Yeah, in fact, off of The Doctor and Standing on the Edge, I don't think I've heard them do too many songs from these albums live, except for the big song, which might come up a little bit later. So we'll see.
Yeah, I know they played the, I've seen them play The Flame a couple times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the stuff off of Lap of Luxury you've seen, but the Doctor and Standing on the Edge, not so much. So what's your number two?
My number two is on the album of the same name. It's The Doctor.
The song,
I
The
Doctor. I love that song.
Really?
Love it. And I hadn't heard it in many years, and then it starts off with the drums and the bass comes in. It's a great song.
Wow.
Kind of a weird, and they will never play it, but
yeah,
I really love it.
Wow, that is shocking, Danny.
Yeah?
Because we're going to hear that about that again later.
All right, woo. Well.
Yeah, because I listened to them like, why did they name the album after this song? Not a fan, Danny. Not a fan of The Doctor at all.
You must not have listened to it then.
I did a couple times. But I had to listen to these songs several times because some of them, I didn't have a lot in the bottom. And in the top, I had a lot more. So I had to listen to them more. It's like, which ones do I really like? It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. The Doctor wouldn't have came up on my like list, just put it that way.
All right. Ooh. Well, I do. Your number three, The Cover Girl, that was on my list of top three. It's not. It was in the top list.
Honorable mention, okay.
Yeah, honorable mention. I got a couple others, too.
All right, okay. Number two for me is also on Standing on the Edge, and it was the single, and it almost made the top 40, but it stalled at 44. It's Tonight It's You.
Okay.
Which I think is a solid song, and I have seen them play this one live, but it's been a long time since they've done it.
Yeah, I saw them play that song too.
Yeah. Good chorus, just a good melodic song. Yeah, probably one of the stronger songs on Standing on the Edge for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will tell you, that was my number one.
What a surprise.
What a surprise, because that's kind of my thing with Cheap Trick is those kind of songs, because if you listen to our previous top three on Cheap Trick, that's the kind of song, the melodic rockers. I love Tonight It's You.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's a great song. I was still shocked that you put The Flame on there, because normally you don't go for the ballads, but...
I don't, but then I was listening to it yesterday for like the third or fourth time. I'm like, man, this is a really good song.
Yeah. You forget, because you know these albums, especially those first two, I mean, people forget about them. In fact, the band kind of craps on Standing on the Edge and The Doctor in their catalog.
But, that's too bad.
Yeah, but Tonight It's You, solid track. Disagree with you 100% and a good video. So down to number one.
Your number one.
All three of my top three are on the same album. Number one is the song Standing on the Edge.
All right.
It's a rocker. It's the only negative about Standing on the Edge is they say Standing on the Edge a little too much.
Yeah, they especially at the end.
They get a little repetitive in it, but it's a rocker, and I've seen them do this live. This song and Tonight You are the only two songs I've ever seen them do live, and I forgot how much I really liked it. I was cranking this in the shower the other day, probably scaring away the neighbors, but.
Whatever. Yeah. They'll get over it.
I think the song would be better if it was shortened and they didn't say Standing on the Edge too much at the end, but nah.
Well, that was one of my honorable mentions. It almost made my top. I was kind of deciding between that and The Flame, but, you know, I had to go with The Flame, but that was one of my honorable mentions along with the song All Wound Up.
Okay.
Love that song too.
All Wound Up? Yeah.
Yeah, that could have been in my top three as well.
It's funny, when Lap of Luxury came out, I mean, I know the singles, but the other songs, I totally forgot about all of them.
Yeah.
I just, I don't remember this one. Because I think I saw them so much in MTV and the radio, I got burned out on them when they got popular again.
Right.
I kind of strayed away from that album.
Well, I will say, of the three albums, I would rank them in probably opposite order of what the critics do. I would put Lap of Luxury at number three. The Doctor at number two, and Standing on the Edge would be number one by a long shot.
I
love that album.
I'd agree with you, Standing on the Edge of one. I might Lap of Luxury and The Doctor. They're about the same to me. I'll agree with you there too. Same thing.
Yeah.
The Doctor does have a couple stinkers on it, but then it's got a lot of really good songs as well. So.
Yeah. And I had a hard time finding anything really bad on Standing on the Edge.
Yeah, what was it?
I mean, there's some songs that are okay. There's some great songs like Tonight It's You and Standing on the Edge, but, you know, the others.
Yeah, there's one song on, I'll talk about it later, but Standing on the Edge, it almost made my bottom three, but.
All right.
It got edged out by what I pick. So, and now, the bottom three.
Bottom three.
The songs that we like the least.
All right. Well, probably not going to be any surprise that my three are all kind of ballady. My number three, bottom three is Love Comes. Not a fan.
Yeah, I almost made mine too.
Yeah, just it doesn't do anything for me. It's just kind of, it's just one of those ballads that's like, okay, well, that was fun. Move on to the next.
Next. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that one. My number three. Now here's the interesting part. My top three albums came from the same album. All my bottom three albums came from the same album.
All right.
At number three, off of The Doctor, The Name of the Game.
All
like this song. I think the chorus is horrible. It just, it's irritating. It's one of the ones I'll probably never listen to ever again. In fact, when I put songs on my phone, I put Cheap Trick songs from early all the way up to Lap of Luxury so far, and this one is not on my phone. Name of the game. Don't like it all right. At all. It's a stinker.
All right. We might hear about that in a little while.
Okay.
All right. My number two of bottom three is Ghost Town. Again, just, ugh. Just kind of a mellow, lame song that doesn't do anything for me.
That's very interesting because that's a honorable mention for my top three. That would have been my number four.
Okay.
I love
it. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one.
Love the song, love the video. But yeah, I can see how you, yeah, it is ballady, but I don't think it's a good song, but... Yeah, so far your bottom three, same kind of songs. Don't like those slow ballads.
Yep.
All right. Number two for me is a song off The Doctor again. Man, You Lip You Later. I don't like the bass part. I think the first, it's funky as hell, and the chorus is terrible. Man, you lip you later. I'm like, guys, this is like a demo. You guys couldn't think of anything to write, so that's what you came out. You took one word and made it 40 syllables. No.
Yeah.
No. Not not good.
I kind of like that song until you just did that.
Man, you. Yeah. There's after they do it, there's a part of the song that I do like, but it's only like 20 seconds.
Yeah, maybe that's the part I was thinking of.
And it's after that part, when they go into it, there's a decent part, but then it goes back into it. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Then my number one is, I agree with you, The Name of the Game.
Ooh, off The Doctor.
Yeah, just, oh. So there's kind of a common theme running through my bottom three, is that they're all the ballads except for The Flame. You know, that's why that one is in my top three, and all the bottom three are all ballads. I don't know. But
so you don't like Cheap Trick songs. It's Cheap Trick ballads written by Cheap Trick is what you're saying.
Maybe that's what it is.
Okay. And you're going to be shocked by my number one.
If it's The Doctor.
Number one is off The Doctor. And it's the song, The Doctor.
Oh, no, no, no.
Absolutely hate it. I think it's, I still can't figure out why the album is named after the worst song on the album, in my opinion. I just don't get it. I can't find anything redeeming about it. You could try to convince me, but yeah, why don't you try to convince me?
It's your opinion. I love the song. I love the groove. I love the bass part. You know, as I'm listening to the album, I totally forgot this song, and I was prepared to skip it. But then I was listening to it. Man, this is a good song. So
yeah, maybe because it's so different from what everything they have. It's not really melodic. It's almost like it's got a kind of a jazz type of feel to it. Yeah, the bass line is prominent in it. But
yeah, I think for me that it's more the rocking side of that album. You know. And the thing for me with Lap of Luxury is there is so much keyboards and just, it's like they're trying to sound modern, but they're really not. I don't know what the deal was with the instrumentation on that album.
Yeah, Tony Platt from the other two albums is responsible for all those keyboards. I mean, The Doctor has a lot of keyboards in it. Look at Kiss Me Red, which the band hate. Well, actually, Rick hates, and the keyboards are way out in front. Actually, I kind of like that song, but a lot of it. And in fact, there are some live performances of songs off The Doctor, and our buddy Todd Howarth is in those performances. You can see it on YouTube because I was...
I bet he is.
Because it's so prominent, you have to stick him up there because it looks silly when you see a band playing, a three-piece band playing up there, and you hear keyboards, and like, where's the keyboard player? I don't see it anywhere. But they had him out there for that. So, I'm glad we got to revisit these albums because, yeah, there are some songs that are pretty good there that we totally forgot about.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite Cheap Trick songs of all time is Tonight It's You. Such a great song.
Yeah, and why that song didn't get bigger, I don't know.
Yeah, it should have been huge.
I also thought it was weird that Little Sister starts off the Standing on the Edge album, because I don't think that song's that strong either. That almost made my bottom list.
It's like, really?
Yeah, that was okay. Yeah.
And I had that almost on my honorable mentions for top three. Yeah. I like that song.
I could see starting the album with Tonight It's You over Little Sister. I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
And off a
they seem to do that with the previous three albums. All the strong stuff was at the beginning.
Yeah, and but it's weird with The Doctor. The single is the last song in the album.
Yeah.
It's Only Love, which is not a bad song, but it's weird that your last song in the album means you didn't think much of it, sticking it last, and all of a sudden it released as your single. Sounds like a record company thing. I don't know. And off of Lap of Luxury, the song that almost made my bottom was Space. I just like, eh.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That got one of my dishonorable mentions.
And, you know, because usually when you think of strong openers, I mean, look at Lap of Luxury. It's Let's Go, which is a decent song. Let Go. But
they
never really play it. It's not like a staple. Usually when your first song is something you'll play.
Right.
But they don't. And Never Had a Lot to Lose was also a single, which is okay. And I almost thought about putting Don't Be Cruel in my bottom, but then I listened to it again and went, it is kind of a stupid song, but I still like it. I kind of like it. So.
Yeah, my band plays that version of that song, you know, it's because that's an Elvis song.
Oh, yeah.
But we play the Cheap Trick version with all the bop-bops and all that. Great. Oh. It's a fun song to play.
I don't like the female background vocals in it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't do any of that.
Yeah, so, okay.
All right, well.
I don't know if we'll ever listen to these albums again. We might. You pull out the songs you like. Everybody seems to, like, have a playlist or whatever on their phone. Yeah, everything's on your phone now. Nobody has iPods anymore. Mine are all gone. They don't work anymore, so all the music I like is definitely on my phone.
Yep, absolutely.
Tonight at You is definitely there.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool now. If you can do a whole band's catalog, you can just put the songs you like, and then if you want to listen to, like, Cheap Trick, you can just hit shuffle, and you only get good Cheap Trick songs because you got rid of all the crappy ones. Right?
All the stuff you don't like.
It's like I did that with the first 8 Kiss albums, and I took I Still Love You from Creatures of the Night right off my phone. Cannot stand that one.
Nope. No, that's awful.
Not good. Oof.
And I'd get rid of God Gave Rock and Roll to You also. I mean, I know that's on a later album, but ugh.
Yeah, I can live with that one, but if I didn't hear it again, I'd be okay. There's much better songs than that. But
yeah.
That helped their career a little bit, so yeah.
Whatever.
Okay, well, I hope you people have been entertained with this. So
yeah, go check out the albums. They're, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Lap of Luxury, but it's not a bad album.
Yeah.
I like Standing on the Edge is a way better album, I think. I don't know what the critics are thinking, but whatever.
Yeah, for a long time, that album wasn't available. In fact, I think they said on that album, the record company misspelled Rick's last name. There's all kinds of issues with that album.
Oh, jeez.
It's like kind of disrespectful. You misspell the main songwriter's name on the album. So I guess it's kind of a collector's album, the vinyl version, the first
print. Okay.
The band is not too fond of those albums. And we forgot to mention that Standing on the Edge and The Doctor is the last two albums that John Brandt was on. Until Tom Peterson came to his senses and came back.
Yeah, interesting. Realized he wasn't going to be a superstar by himself.
Yeah, I think he had a wife or an ex-wife convince him that he should be a solo artist. That went nowhere.
Why would, if you were in Cheap Trick, why would you think that, hey, I'm the bass player, I am the main draw? What?
I guess because he sang one or two songs and they figure, oh, he's a good-looking guy. He can, I guess he thought, okay, I can, if I'm making money with the four-piece, I can make money as a solo artist.
But, yeah, no.
But it kind of worked out. When he came back, the band got big again. And I don't know if that went to his head or maybe he was humbled so much he was just grateful.
Yeah. Well, they got big again because of the Flame.
Right.
Not because he came back.
Yeah. People probably didn't even realize they changed bass players.
So. Yeah. Who did?
We did because we're geeks like that.
Yeah. I mean, we know, but you wouldn't go, hey, that bass part on the Flame really sounds different.
That doesn't sound like John Brandt.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. But, yeah. So we're going to... I mean, we did, three shows in a row with Cheap Trick, so we'll probably get off Cheap Trick for a while.
Yeah, probably so.
Do some other stuff, and maybe we'll revisit some of the stuff later on, or pick another band to go through. We come up with these weird ideas and say, hey, let's go for it. Why not? Yeah.
I'd like to do another track-by-track thing where we track-by-track battle.
Oh, okay. Gotta
think about what albums I'd like to compare. So
something revisit we haven't listened to in a while. So that's your assignment, Dan. You can find stuff we haven't go back and say, oh, okay. Rediscover.
I'll come up with something and see if we can do a track by track to see which album is actually better.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. And see, that's our cliffhanger right there. So it means you have to come back in 2 weeks and find out what the heck Danny's come up with. If anything, we'll see.
Yeah, well, I've got nothing else to do. I might as well.
Yeah, what the heck, you know? Yeah, you work at home for 8 hours. Like, what am I gonna do now? Okay, let's find a track by track now. Hmm. Yeah.
Should I do that or take a nap?
Or both? Yeah. Yeah, you get that time. You start your life. You take lots of naps and. Towards the end of your life, you start taking naps again.
One big dirt nap.
Yeah, that's the last one. The last nap. Hopefully that won't happen for a couple of years, but we'll see, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping.
My plan is to retire and travel a little bit, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, Danny. I guess I'm going to see you in a couple weeks.
All right.
And we'll see what we come up with.
It'll be awesome, I'm sure.
All right, people.
All right.
See you in two.
Peace out.